I don't think a lot of couples trust each other. I really don't think. And
Wow, that's
that's where,
big.
and that is really big, that because that trust is really the foundation for connection. I can't let go of something if I can't let go of something to take what you want to give me unless I trust you. There are people who are toxic and stay toxic. And stay toxic. And their relationship, I won't let it go. I'm just not, you did that. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to let it go. And I'm like, well, it's how's that been working out for you?
Yeah, right.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Under the Fig Tree. I'm Troy.
And I'm Bruce.
And we have our good friends, Dr. Tim and Cheryl Brewer, in the house with us today under the Fig Tree. Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Honored to
Cool.
be here,
Well,
always.
welcome back, actually.
Welcome back. I think this is like the fourth season you guys come back. So we got to be doing something right, I
Yeah,
guess.
man.
Or maybe we're doing something wrong and you guys are our accomplices.
Either way, it sounds like fun.
You ran out of gas, guys. You know.
Absolutely, man.
Always good to have you guys here with us. Before we get started, I do want to give some updates to our friends of Under the Fig Tree, our followers and listeners. We are in the middle of a migration project to where we have started a Under the Fig Tree YouTube channel. And so we're in the process of migrating everything from the Living Waters channel to the Under the Fig Tree channel. It's going to be a lot easier to find us. It's going to be a lot easier for you to refer us to your friends and they can find us. They would have to just do a search for Under the Fig Tree on YouTube. They'd be able to find all episodes. So far, we have what? All of season 5 on there, all of season 4, 3, 2, and we're just missing season 1. We'll get that updated as soon as possible. And we'll let this run until the end of the year. We'll have both channels running to the end of the year. And starting January 1, it'll be exclusively on the Under the Fig Tree channel for YouTube. Sound good?
Awesome.
Cool. So, Bruce, what are we starting with today, man?
Well, you know what? We're going to delve into we're going to try to get to all three of these topics. If we do, we do. If we don't, we don't.
Gotcha.
You know, it would be a good reason if we don't to have them come back again, you know, have Tim and Cheryl come back again and do a part two. But we're going to
so
try to get
maybe
to
we
all
don't.
three.
Maybe
Maybe we
we
won't.
don't.
Maybe we
Yeah.
won't on purpose. But we want to try to tackle a little bit submission today. Obviously, we're talking about marriage, the marriage relationship. And so we want to talk about submission. That's going to be a lot of fun because, there's
Oh,
people
yeah.
out there. There's a lot of people out there who already know. I said the word submission, and I could almost hear in the cyber world, uh-oh, you know. But we're going to try to get to submission. We're going to try to talk about growing together. That should be fun. And also, I don't think you can talk about growing together without talking about roles and responsibilities. So I really believe all three of those go together and will absolutely complement each other. So let's start with submission, man. Let's go ahead and jig the knife in and turn it a little bit and, you know, and see if we can find any cancers in there that we can cut out. Isn't that hopeful? So,
Submission is a big one.
Yeah. So guys, why don't we start with you telling, for those of our listeners and viewers who may not be familiar with you, why don't you start with just telling us a little bit about yourself and what you do, and we're going to shut up and let you talk.
Well, we're Dr. Tim and Cheryl Brewer. We felt called to counseling, 1990, I guess. We finally acted, or 2000.
I was going to say,
2000,
very big.
Yeah. 2000.
They called us individually, but not together yet.
In 2000, we were kind of praying about things and what's the direction for our life. And I told Cheryl, I said, I feel like I'm called to counseling. And she said, I feel like same thing.
Wow.
So that's how we kind of got started. and started going back to school and trying to learn a lot. People had always gravitated to us for advice, and I don't know why, because I never felt like I was an expert on anything, but I always seemed to gravitate, even in business. And then when I was teaching, I was that mentor, tended to be that mentor teacher for younger teachers. And then when I was on the road, I was on sales. I was in teachers' classrooms, and they were always, "Hey, have you ever run into this? Have you ever done this?" And that kind of thing. What's your experience with us? And it seems like folks have always gravitated to us, to Cheryl as well. And so we got started, and we have a counseling practice. We're located here in Charlotte and in Fort Mill, South Carolina, and we're having a good time. We thought we were going to slow down a little this year, and we have been just blessed beyond since the beginning of the year. It's amazing, and we're having to make ourselves take time to rest, because we have a heavy schedule now. We're having to do that, and so that's kind of where we're at.
I just want to add one thing quickly about us moving into the arena of counseling. It was birthed the year after the worst year of our marriage.
Wow.
So I want to encourage people that sometimes when you go through a struggle and you go through the hard times, if you persevere to the other side, God always has something better.
Correct.
And
Yeah,
for
that's
us,
good.
it was our call.
Absolutely.
And if we had given in to what the enemy was trying to do, we would have never walked into this.
Right.
So just want to encourage couples, if you're hearing, if you're going through a hard time, ask God what the purpose is and hang on and keep going. Don't
Wow.
stop.
That's awesome, man.
That's very true. That was very true. That was an extremely hard year in our life. We had doors open for us to go in a totally different direction. Every time we turn around, there was a blessing. There was something that happened. And then we're talking like in July of a year, and the following February, every door started closing. I mean, just closed after other warfare, spiritual warfare, and all kind of things happened. My father got sick. I needed to be back closer to home, so we ended up breaking roots and coming back after about 9, 10 months. And it was a trying time, and that's when. But I'll be honest with you, I am so hard-headed. The Lord has to sweep my legs out from under me to get my attention sometimes, and he did a massive job putting me on my backside so I would look up, and that's kind of where we got started.
Wow,
Submission,
that's
huh?
awesome.
Just jump
Submission,
in. Let it just
submission. Oh
yeah,
my
let's jump in,
goodness.
man.
I can usually say certain phrases and a room gets tight. I can walk up to a group of men and go and walk in and go, "Guys, we need to talk." You know, that's the one that will tighten a group of men up real quickly,
Yeah, will.
big
Oh,
time.
will.
Because they have heard that, and that is not the phrase that they want to hear. There's so much negative associated with that.
Yes.
And then, you know, when you start talking to women, you say the word submission. You know, what does Ephesians 5 say about marriage? He said, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having
Yes.
spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that he should be holy, that she should be holy and without blemish." And you know, we hear all this thing about the wife submitting. Yes, the wife is supposed to submit to the husband, but it is not the abusive thing that we
That's right.
tend to understand, that we tend to hear.
Right.
We are living with the residue of the 60s and the 70s right now, where women's liberation was a big thing, and there was positive and negatives that came out of that, because there was a lot of unbiblical thought that came out of that. But yes, women need to be treated just like a man. Absolutely, without a doubt. They need, and
Excuse
if
me, clarify that. Thank
well,
you.
well. As far as having rights and them being able to do things they should be able to do, if they can do the same job I can do, bless them and give them the same salary. No problem. I don't have any problem with that. But we were given defined roles when we came into this life. First of all, we talk about the interpreting scripture by the law of first mention. That's one of our things that we talk about. And God gave Adam specific duties when he was made. And then he saw in Adam something that he could not fulfill, a loneliness. And that's when he made woman, and he took woman from his side. Yeah, symbolic. Maybe we need to have a little common sense when we read scripture sometimes, because he did give us a mind. He did give us will, and he gave us some emotion as well. But he gave us a mind to think about it. She's equal to me. She came from my side. And then, love my wife as Christ loved the church. What did Christ do? He gave his life. He gave his life for us. So I should be willing to give my life for a wife. Is that somebody that I feel like I want to abuse? Absolutely not. The Bible talks about you that we don't abuse. We wouldn't want to hate our own flesh and abuse it. And so we have a lot of folks that just get all I've been out of shape when you say that. But the thing is that law first mentioned, who is the man supposed to be submitted to? Christ. We've got that answer for ourselves and our marriage and our children. We have responsibility. We have to be submitted. And we have a lot of guys out there now who are not submitted to the Lord. And as a result, it's like their GPS has no direction. If I'm going to shoot at a target, if I'm going to shoot at something, I need a target to shoot at. If I'm going to be submitted to someone, I got to understand that I am submitted to Christ. And I have to listen to him, but before I can listen to him, I have to have some kind of relationship with him. We were talking with a couple the other night about praying, about praying together. And that's, as we've said many times, that's our most difficult thing that we have getting couples to do, is that we pray, but there's another part of prayer that we don't think about. We have to learn to shut up and listen to what God has to say to us.
That's right.
Because a lot of times it's a one-sided dialogue, rather than it's a one-sided
Wish list.
wish list. Lord, give me this. Lord, bless us. Lord, help us to be able to accomplish this. Lord, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. And God, we don't take time to listen to what God's got to say. And he might say, I want to give you far beyond what you're asking for. You're asking for less than I really want to give you. And so there has to be that relationship for us as a husband. And when my relationship is in the right place, we treat our spouse in the right way.
Yeah, that's
Yeah.
awesome.
You mentioned something there, and I want you to, because I don't want to skip past that. You mentioned the idea of praying together, and I just want you guys to talk a little bit about that and the importance of it. What should happen? Why that should happen? What should be the result of that?
Well, the thing that's so great about prayer is, first off, we're coming to God as one, like we are, like He created us to be. So we're already opening up and saying, Lord, here we are, how you asked us, how you commanded that we are. So we're coming to you together. We're asking for these things together because we are in one accord. We're in that one body that you created us to be when we came into covenant. And completing that covenant conversation, and we keep that open with him. And so when we pray for each other, when we first praise, you have to start with praise. Praise God first. Don't start with the ask. We always start with praise. Because if you go in with the ask, I just wonder how many times God's going, oh, here we go again. Okay. You know.
What does Scripture say? Scripture says, enter into his courts with thanksgiving. And then the next thing he lists, I think, is in that thing is praise, right? I think that before we start asking,
Absolutely.
I don't want, I remember when I was a kid, I didn't walk in and go, Dad, I need this, or Mom, I need this. I'm like, you're the best dad in the whole wide world. I love you.
That's right.
And I don't mean that as a manipulative thing with God, but God wants to hear the intent of our heart. He knows it, but he wants to hear that we are able to to bow ourselves to him and see our need for him.
That's good, man. Talking about that not walking in and just asking your dad for something. I remember my transition from being a New York kid to a suddenly South Carolina kid, and some of the social norms, that I had to learn. And that was one of them where I come from in the South, in South Carolina. I'm gonna put South Carolina on blast, right? In a good way. But you couldn't walk into the house and not say good evening. That was something that you just, it was supposed to happen. You know what I'm saying? And so you think about, going to God and just giving him your list, and especially where marriage is concerned, because one of the things that we've learned over time, Robin and I, is that you go to try to talk to God about her, and he will talk to you about you. She goes and tries to talk to God about me. God,
100%.
please fix this dude. He's messing up. And God will inevitably talk to you about you. You know what I'm saying? And so that's great, man. It's a good place to start, that you come together, you put your hands together, man, and both of you go before the Lord with worship and thanksgiving and that kind of thing. That's awesome.
One thing that a lot of couples, I don't think a lot of couples trust each other. I really don't think. And
Wow, that's
that's
big.
where, and that is really big, because that trust is really the foundation for connection. I can't let go of something. If I can't let go of something to take what you want to give me, unless I trust you.
And wouldn't you say that trust, because when you said trust, the next word that came to me was vulnerability. So would you agree that that's the area of trust that gets challenged in marriages? I don't know that I can trust you to be that open and vulnerable. Do you think those go together?
Exactly right. And we can teach you. We do a thing on intimacy, and we talk about five types of intimacy. And one of those, of course, is spiritual intimacy. We think that's very, very important. All that we everybody else, it seems like a lot of our other folks can do a lot of the other things. It, maybe not emotional intimacy. That's a hard one for guys, is when you're talking about your feelings and your emotions. That's a hard one for us. And the older you get, it's harder. It's harder to talk about what I'm feeling, how vulnerable I am. It, being vulnerable to your wife and saying, I'm struggling with this. This is something, because we're supposed to, as we get older, we're supposed to have this together, right? But it's hard for us to do that. And but women need to be able to hear those connective type words so that they can trust us, and they're holding back a piece of their heart until they can trust. And sometimes there's been so much trauma in their background. And it could be
Even
with
in the present
in the
one.
present one, it could be with coworkers, it could be with church people. I didn't say that. I'm sorry. It could even be with church people that they've had trauma, and as a result, they don't mean to do that. Or I and it goes both ways for guys too. I mean, let's just be honest. It's not just one way with women. It could be there's so much trauma. I'm not willing to give a piece of my heart because I know I can keep that part safe.
And the thing about trust and the vulnerability, Bruce, that you brought out, the thing about it that we try to get couples to realize if there is trauma or to help if there's past trust issues or if it's just because this is new for us, we try to help them understand when you pray together, you also get that emotional connection because now you're hearing each other's heart. You hear the deepest things, the things that are most important, because that's what you're going to bring to God. And then you're connected on a whole different level. So the emotional part has already started to attach. And the other thing about that is if people are working through trauma and it's in that relationship, we tell them when you pray together, that's where your healing starts. Because if you're
Absolutely.
praying together, God's working in your heart for each other because you can't continue to stay unforgiving with your spouse. You can't continue to have bitterness in your heart when you're praying together and you're praising together and you're seeking the Lord together, because He's going to do a supernatural thing. Even if you're not asking for it, He's going to do it because you're doing it God's way.
Wow.
I wholeheartedly agree. I've been telling people for the longest time, if you're earnestly praying for somebody, it's really difficult to stay mad at them.
Yes.
When you're earnestly, not when you're just, doing it passively, but when you're in deep intercession for somebody, it's really, really difficult to stay upset with that person. So I'm looking at this prayer thing, as a couple, as a unit. It's basically the best way to say it, the two becoming one.
Yes.
How does that lend itself to the submission? Or does it lend itself to submission?
Oh, yes, it
Yeah.
does.
Great.
Absolutely. As men, like we I've said before, we're called to be the leader. We're called to be the king and the priest. We're supposed to be the, in other words, we're going to make decisions together, but we're going to be final answer. It's like that was in a what was one of the game shows. That was the thing you'd answer and then go final answer.
Yeah,
We're
right.
ultimate. Every, was it John Maxwell? I think John Maxwell. So everything rises and falls in leadership. And it's not just in business world, it's in our family too. We're the one that's supposed to be holding the reins for the horses and driving the team.
Right.
But when we're driving the team, she's riding with me, right? And she's going to help me make that decision. And I'm going to make a decision that's going to keep me safe and her safe,
Right.
and so we're not going to be abusive in that respect. And so we have to understand that we're called to that position of leadership to be able to do that. And when she sees me going after God aggressively, she can tend, it's like the old Star Trek days. And I'm going back to Captain Kirk and Spock and all those guys. They're out, going through the galaxies, and they had this shield up in case all these invisible people could attack them, right? And but the thing is, it's good to have the shield up because it protected them, but they could not beam anybody to a planet or to another ship or beam someone back to them when that shield was up. And we have a lot of people, especially women, walking around with that shield up because they have been hurt and they don't trust. And they don't trust you. They don't trust you. Maybe it's because of the tone of what comes out of your mouth. Maybe it's because of the actions that you've done. Maybe it's because of the spiteful way that you have, and I'm just speaking for guys. I'm not speaking just, and I'm not beating on guys. I'm just, because I am one. I can speak from that. Cheryl can speak from her. But sometimes our actions and the things that we have done causes them to have keep that shield up, and they're with that shield, they're holding their heart, because when the shield's down and we're very sarcastic, where does that arrow go? Immediately to their heart. And if they do not trust us, there's not connection, there's not and I'm going to be honest with you, the fulfillment, and I'm going to go, and this will get us canceled, Troy. Fulfill There's not really ultimate fulfillment in intimacy. All of that, it affects everything. But if she sees I'm going after God, and I'm digging in, and I'm reading, I'm praying, and I'm taking care of her, and trying to let my heart show that she is the most important thing in my life after God. And I have a hierarchy. You laugh at me, but God, my wife, my children, my pickup truck, all of that. But if she sees me, I love my truck. God blessed us with it, and I am loving it. When she sees me going after God, she lets that shield down. She trusts me. But the thing is, if I leave that shield up too long, what happens in her heart? There can be unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is leading to bitterness. Bitterness leads to anger. Anger can lead to shame and guilt. And so I'm inviting all of these little, for lack of a better term, evil spirits into our marriage. And what does it do? When I start inviting all those in there, what does it do? It gets between us and it starts pushing us apart.
Sure.
There's a lot of techniques, counseling techniques we can give folks to help them understand things. But sometimes we got to just kind of grab the word and just let's start talking about this thing. Let's talk about this thing spiritually because it works. And the idea of getting couples to pray, like I said, there are five parts of intimacy. That last one, spiritual, is the one that's the catalyst that makes it all happen. It's kind of like I can put dynamite out, I can run a line to it, I can hook it to the plunger. We can blow stuff up, but if I never push the plunger down, it's never going to blow up. Okay. And that spiritual portion of intimacy is what enacts it all and makes an explosion happen.
Can I just want to jump in unless you had something else you wanted to mention about prayer.
No, I was coming right to you, Cheryl, because I want your perspective on this submission thing.
We always go to Ephesians, we go to Colossians. I want to bring out a part of Proverbs 31 for our women. And this is the part that I want to read when it starts talking about the virtuous wife. Proverbs 31:10, it says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies." This is the important part. "The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain."
Absolutely.
So does that sound like a weak, wimpy,
No.
submitted wife?
No, it
Does
does
not.
not.
That sounds like a powerful woman to me. And then we know everything else that's in Proverbs about not being idle with her hands and all the things she does for her household. And when we talk about submission with our couples, the one thing I want to tell them is I tell those ladies, I said, when your husband is under submission to God, like he should be, you will never be a stronger woman.
Absolutely.
That's where your strength comes from. When you see your husband, now he's not going to be perfect, just like I'm not going to be perfect. But as he's pushing and pushing and trying to serve and trying to be everything God wants him to be, I know that I have safety in that. Because women seem to think, okay, you drive, so that means you carry all the responsibility and I'm just going to sit back and ride. And that's not the way it works either.
That's right.
Because we have a part of that also. And to me, that scripture says how important it is because we also have to hold the heart, their heart, so that they can trust that we are doing our part as well.
That's good, man.
And when I tell people, I mean, there are things he encourages me to do I would never do by myself, or I'd never have the courage to do. But because he encourages me and helps me to feel confident, because I always know if I do something and it fails, it's not going to affect us. He's still got me. He's still going to be the one to catch me because God's got him. And it's kind of like the trampoline. I can jump on the trampoline and he's the net all around it. So
That's
even
good.
if I miss, he's still got me. And I tell ladies all the time, you are not going to know how strong you can be until you truly let him lead and you submit to that and allow him to. And then one of the other things, and then I'm sure Tim has something he would like to say that I find so important is I will always remind the women or bring to their thought because maybe they haven't realized. We'll say, because we start talking about it, and especially when we usually start off with covenant when we start talking about it. And then we get to the part and I say, ladies, I want you to think, do you know how much responsibility he feels as being the leader for us to be able to submit to them? If it's a true godly man, he feels that way. So if you're not doing your part, it makes it harder for him to do what he has to do.
That's
That's a
right.
good point.
So if we take the responsibility of what we have to bring to the relationship, to bring to the covenant, and do the submitting the right way, it's not about being second. It has nothing to do with about being weaker. It has everything to do with God's plan, and his plan's always perfect, even though we're imperfect. But when we bring our imperfect together in God's plan to him, He makes it something better than we could ever do on our own. And especially if we're trying to lead, because we're going to make it way worse than he's going to do
Right.
because it's not what we're called to do.
Yeah.
The one of the controversial things, and you guys kind of, I think you guys talked about this. I remember hearing part of your podcast that I've heard about half of it and didn't get to finish the rest of it yet. But you were talking about that term Ezra Konegdo about Eve being that quote helpmate. Well, it's funny when you're looking at that. God is referred to, Yahweh is referred to as Ezer. Several, I think 21 times, I believe in Psalms, he refers to God as that same one who can complete something that I cannot complete. So when God gave Eve to Adam, it was someone who could complete what he didn't have the power to complete. And I hate to use this symbol, because it's a new age thing, the yin yang, thing. And it's like, if you notice that one does a portion that the other one can't do, if you look at that symbol, but it's a great, very graphic example. We're put together as a couple to be able to complete a task. To complete a task. And God, in that one, it talked about it was one who had power as well. And together, when we are connected, it's like a literally like plugging a power cord into a wall. That's when where the power comes from. The device can maybe maybe accomplish the goal, but it has to be plugged into power. And so when we're plugged in together, we can accomplish things. And that's what he wanted us to think about. He didn't want us to be abusive to one another and or anything like that. It's to be a wonderful thing. And we have distorted that through secular thought so much. And like I said, we're still living under the residue of that. We're still fighting about that. And it's so sad that we got that. And as that's the reason that sometimes there are people who are toxic and stay toxic. And stay toxic. And their relationship, I won't let it go. I'm just not, you did that. I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to let it go. And I'm like, well, how's that been working out for you?
Yeah,
As our Dr. Phil said, well, if you're not going to change, why be here with us? We got to change something, Iron sharpens iron, so men should sharpen one another. And once in a while, there got to be sparks in our session, because what do you do when you sharpen iron? Those of us who are old school, we did it with a grinding rock or whatever, and you start sharpening an axe, sparks are going to fly. Sparks are going to fly. But also, when you sharpen an axe, what do you really do? You take away everything that's dull, because dull is ineffective. So I take away the dullness, and then we can be effective when we've got a sharp blade. Abraham Lincoln had a saying. It said, if you give me 6 hours to cut down a tree, I'll spend 4 hours sharpening the axe. And sometimes some of us need to get in that prayer closet or get into our research time and sit and sharpen our axe a little bit to be effective in their relationship.
I think about when I think about the husband and wife, and I'll even throw the singles in there because the word that comes to mind is dominion. That God set this thing up so that we together would have dominion. And my mind works a little different sometimes, but I think about Leviticus 26 and what is that? 26 and Deuteronomy 32. One can chase a thousand. And I think about singles, born again singles that are really trying to walk this life. They haven't found their spouse yet. You know what I'm saying? And I think about it from that perspective. A good, solid believer who's single can chase a thousand. Two can put 10,000 to flight, right? Like, oh, buddy, wait, just trust God. When your spouse comes, you're going to be, 10,000 times more powerful. I think about it from the dominion perspective. You know what I'm saying? And I threw that in, and not to leave the singles out because we're talking primarily about marriage, but For anybody who is single, who's listening or watching, yeah, man, live the life that God has called you to live where you are right now, and
Yes.
trust God for your relationship. Trust God for that holy, godly man of God, woman of God, and but also know and be encouraged that wherever you are now, and however successful you might be in your walk with God, it's going to manifest. It's going to manifest exponentially once that godly man of God, that godly woman comes in. You know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to throw that in there, because I always think about dominion, man, when I think about the husband-wife, dynamic.
Love it.
Well, and you bring up something, Bruce. I think it's very important for singles. Be praying for your spouse.
Absolutely.
The spouse can be your success or your downfall. Just
Absolutely.
because he looks good and he's sitting out there on the corner in front of the convenience store, you want to date him, and he's got no job, he's living in his mama's basement. He just because he looks good don't mean that you need to date him.
That's right.
You need to qualify that.
That's right.
And just because she's pretty doesn't mean she's going to be the right person for you. Your spouse can change the entire direction of your life. And I'd hate to know that I stood before God and missed the direction he called me to.
Wow.
You show me your friends, I'll show you your future.
Yeah.
Because who you have in your life, speaking into your life, affecting your moods and your decisions and your thought life, can change your destiny.
They become the closest person to you in the on the planet. Or at
Yes.
least they're supposed to be. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They're supposed to be,
Yes.
yes. They're supposed to be, man. So absolutely.
Yeah. And so, and but we have a lot of folks that I see. I'm like, be careful who you spend your time with, because you might spend your time with the wrong person, and you carry those scars, you carry those soul ties that we have to break. Something we have folks sitting in our office sometimes getting ready to get married, and it's like, ooh, it ain't gonna be the number of sessions that we have put together. We got to talk about some other stuff. We got to clean some other
Wow.
stuff up, because we
Yeah,
don't.
man.
And we've had folks in premarital counseling that decided not to get married. And I'd rather you do that now than us have to clean up the residue of a divorce.
I agree.
I would
100%.
rather you do that now. I would rather you put it off. And we've had some put it off and get healthy and then come back and do it. And that's fine
100%.
too. At least they're willing to listen to sound counsel. That, to me, I give them kudos to the fact that they would take time to try to do it the right way, try to do it God's way.
That's awesome.
I'm of this mind that I believe that you should practice submission before. I think you're behind the curve once you get married and you start to, I'm not saying it's the wrong thing to do because you still need to learn to submit, right? But I think it's a lot more difficult to do after you get married to learn to submit if you have not practiced it beforehand. I believe when you're a headstrong person, which men and women both can be, when you're a headstrong person and I'm just going to do what I want to do because I want to do it, and that's the way you live life, I think it becomes incredibly difficult to mold yourself into that submitted person, that submitted vessel, after the fact of marriage. And then now you've caused collateral damage because you couldn't conform. So I think in my mind, submission has to be practiced or should be practiced beforehand. My daughters know, and you guys know me, I'm very protective of my daughters. And my daughters already know if the guy that you're interested in and he's interested in you, if he can't provide you with at least what I have, at least to that level, then it's not time.
It's
If
good.
you're going to take her from my house and take her and put her under your skirt of protection, you need to be able to provide at least to the level that I'm able to provide, at least to that. But don't take her from my situation to a worse situation. I'm not going to allow that to happen because I'm very protective of my daughters. Not saying that you're not the guy for her. I'm just saying it's not right now.
Yeah.
Right.
At least that. So, and that would give them practice. To be honest with you, that's going to give them practice being submissive to me, because them being submissive to me ultimately gives them the behavior pattern to be submissive to the one that I give them to,
Yeah.
if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm going to throw another facet of submission to you as well that makes it a little bit difficult. It's when the wife, say the couple is not married, not Christians, and the wife comes to Christ before the husband does.
Oh, wow. Good scenario.
And all of a sudden, wife is leading. And fortunately, we have a lot of that in secular marriages too. Wife is in charge of the house because the husband's, forgive me, guys, and I don't mean this, we're lazy slugs sometimes. And don't, we, yeah,
Tell them
exactly
you
right.
really do.
Exactly. Sometimes we just want to, we let things happen and we're just along for the ride,
Yeah.
you know, or we're so busy and immersed in working. That
Yeah.
are marking or chasing after our children. That's another aspect that I probably shouldn't say. I probably offended all my sports people, but some people don't know how to say no. We have folks call the office trying to schedule and we can't get them scheduled. We work 3 evenings a week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday,
Friday afternoons.
Friday afternoons, and they want Friday nights or Wednesday nights. And I'm like, look, we don't work those nights. Well, we have sports all those other nights. Well, then
Sorry.
somebody needs to learn to say no. You
Yep.
need to learn to say no. Who's ruling the house? Are the kids ruling the house? Or are you ruling the house? Let's make a decision here. You know, let's decide that. I know that's harsh, and Lord forgive me. And we lost all your sports people. Please forgive me. But anyway, but the idea of the husband coming late, it's tough sometimes for him to catch up once he does come.
Okay.
And as a result, the wife is more knowledgeable in the way of Christianity, way of spirituality, and he can't seem to get that knowledge or get caught up sometimes. Sometimes he can, and he picks up and he runs with that. He runs with that role. He sees the vision. He develops that relationship and he runs with it. Thank God when that happens, but it doesn't always happen. And sometimes the wife is carrying is got the reins in her hand, and she doesn't want to let go
Yeah,
and let
right.
him have the
Yeah.
reins back,
Right.
but she's not sure she can trust him yet.
Yeah.
Okay, there was a I think the term in the Hebrew was teshukwa, to have what, to want what he has. Sometimes she can't let it go. And so I'm not a biblical scholar like you guys. You guys rock it out when you start talking about that, and I love that.
Yeah,
Yes,
no,
you.
who's he talking to?
I
Somebody behind me?
I love that you guys dig in and get into what the scripture says. I've sent you both a video. You probably laugh about it, by the guy talking about the guys who go back to the group that he won't listen to anybody who's gets all them Greek boys. He shut them down. Well, I
So
shut
funny.
him down pretty quickly after I heard that video. I was like, Lord, I don't even hear that mess. But if you don't dig in a little bit, sometimes
Yeah.
it's hard for her to trust that I'm leading in the right way. And so
Sure. Yeah.
that's another one that we have to kind of navigate sometimes, helping the guy build those skills so that he can become the leader that he needs to be.
Yeah,
So.
wow.
Sure. I know that can be a little challenging. I know several couples that have dealt with that, to where the wife does come into the kingdom first, and then it's almost like he's playing catch up for years. You know what I mean? It's almost like she just won't allow him to catch up.
That's
And
it.
it does become problematic. And then there's sometimes where he's not really trying as hard as he needs to try to catch up, you know?
Exactly.
And you know, so you have both. And I think navigating that can be difficult at times. I think navigating that without help from other couples
Correct.
can be extremely problematic. If you just lean on your own understanding, we already know what happens to that.
Yes.
we already know that the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man. We know where that way leads. And for some reason we tend to keep choosing that way for some reason. Either way, the submission part is completely biblical. The submission part is completely necessary. I think you guys have a statement that I've always loved. If the both of us are the same, that means one of us is unnecessary.
Unnecessary.
And
Right.
so if we both can't lead,
Right.
we both can't lead. Somebody has to lead. And at the end of the day, when everything fell apart in the garden, God said, Adam, where are you? He didn't say,
Yeah.
where are y'all?
Right.
He said, where are you? And so ultimately, I do know it's you can't take all of the good that comes with manhood or that comes with womanhood and not take the responsibility that comes with either. And
Yes.
so I think that's kind of what this boils down to. I did want to move into the direction, Bruce. I think what was the second part that we wanted to talk
Well,
about?
we don't have to do them in the order that I stated them. The second one was growing
Yeah.
together and then roles and responsibilities. What you just said, you
They're
could
going to
really
be
go
like the
either
same,
way.
right? Yeah, they're going to be like the same. So when I'm looking at this, so I have this thing, and please correct me if I'm wrong. I have this thing that successful marriage doesn't mean that we stay together. Successful marriage means that we grow together. Anybody can just stay together and they can hate each other's guts. And that's just not a successful marriage. They can stay together just for financial reasons. I don't want to get a divorce because it's going to cost me too much money.
It's cheaper
Can't
to keep
stand the
her.
woman that you're with, but I don't want to pay all that
Cheaper
money.
to keep her. That's
Cheaper to
exactly
keep
right.
her, right?
Mentality.
And so, and at that
Horrible.
point, that marriage is not successful. It's not successful at all. Bruce has a saying. I usually say a wise man told me one time, but I'll say it this time. Bruce has this saying that nobody gets married to be miserable. And I do agree with that 100%. Looking at that and understanding that as the framework, what does it look like to you, and what advice do you give couples on how to grow together?
I was going to say, even in our premarital, we tell them to start with, you're going to go through seasons. There are going to be times that one of you is going to be in a different place than the other. There's going to be a time where you're holding more of the responsibility, whether it's the spiritual, whether it's the financial, whether it's like you were talking about, the duties, all of the things. We're going to go through seasons. It's not going to look the same all the way through life. It will not. And we tell them you have to be prepared for that. And then you have to know that's when the sacrifice of your love, of how God tells us to love each other, gets you through. Because if he's at a place I'm not at yet, he might have to sacrifice in those moments till I get where he's at. He's going to have the sacrifice, the patience, the love, and the leading ability to do that. To help me get there with him, because there are going to be different seasons of life. There's going to be hurts, there's going to be pains, there's going to be hormones, menopause, all the things that are going to happen. And we tell couples, we're straight up with them. It's going to happen. Life isn't always going to be great. He's going to be freezing to death and wondering if there's ever intimacy again. And then we do tell them, yes, there is life on the other side and you will smile again. So.
Is so funny.
I was looking for the light at the end of the tunnel, and it turned out to be a train. I mean,
That's awesome. That's awesome. And it's real. It's real. It's absolutely true. And I'm glad you said that for the one quadragenarian on the
Oh,
call.
man.
That's those between 40 and 49, So I'm glad you put that out there just to help those on the line that may be in that age bracket.
I'm gonna jump off here on my squirrel moment for a second. Okay,
Go ahead.
you'll like this. Dr. Tim was there. Bruce was there. I believe Bruce was there. Yeah, he was there. And our men's breakfast was probably one of the most successful men's breakfasts we ever had,
Yes.
with a bunch of grown men sitting around talking about menopause.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm telling you,
Yes.
because there were so many guys in the room that got so much out of that,
Yep.
and they could understand a little bit more about their spouse, and some of the things they thought was wrong was just simply menopause.
Yeah.
But not sitting around talking about that, not having these discussions, keeps you in a place where you're wondering, where, I mean, needlessly wondering, needlessly confused. It's just about simple, having a simple conversation. And I
Yep.
think that morning there was a whole lot that was accomplished during that session,
Oh, yes.
where guys were asking tons of questions.
Tons.
What happens when this? And then you had guys in the room that have been through that or currently going through that. They could answer these questions. And then you had younger guys just sitting back, like, "What have I gotten myself
Yeah,
into?"
right.
But
Eyes big, like,
I'm
whoa.
telling you, it was one of the best sessions we ever had
It
in
really
all the
was.
years that we've been doing this.
It really was.
But I like that's my squirrel moment there for a second. But I do know with those type of things, knowing things like that are coming up, it's still important for us to focus on, okay, how can we be better today than we were yesterday? Right? In my mind, that's what growing together looks like. How can we be better today than we were yesterday? How can we log the mistakes from the past without holding them against each other, but learning from them? Does that make sense?
Yes.
What can we do? So, do you guys have any tools? I know you guys got tons of tools in your tool chest, but do you have any tools to help our listeners to understand that it's okay to revisit the mistakes, but from a healthy place?
Very true. One of the things I want to just kind of throw in here, I guess this would be a squirrel moment too, is that we have to understand this is a partnership. And we have been, indoctrinated that everything is supposed to be even and fair. That her roles, she's supposed to have a certain number of roles, and I'm supposed to have certain number of roles. And it's going to be even and fair all the time. And like Cher was talking about, we will go through seasons where one person may be struggling. Let's be honest, as couples, we may go through a struggle at work. We may go through a struggle spiritually, a dark few moments. We may have family members we're having to take care of, parents that we have to pick up the weight on. And sometimes we're picking up the weight on, and all of a sudden the other spouse is having to pick up the weight of the household. And so it's not always going to be fair. It's not always going to be that way. And that's why we don't talk about compromise. We talk about sacrifice. Sometimes I've got to sacrifice to do a few more things than I'm supposed to. We're in that season right now in our marriage where we're having to do, I'm doing a little more sacrifice. She's doing some sacrifice too in a different way. We're working to try to get her in full time. That's our total goal. I'm in full time. She's doing another gig, and she's coming in the evenings and working after that. That's a real sacrifice on her part, because we're learning we're not 35 anymore, and I've learned I can't open the office at 8 o'clock in the morning and go till 9, 9:30 at night anymore, because I'm definitely not 35, because about 1:30 my body says bite me, and so I just can't do all that, so I'm opening it later. You just learn that. But you go through seasons where you have to kind of pick up the slack for each other. I'm doing more of the housework now.
And you do such a great job.
Thank you. I literally I'm down to the point I have dishpan hands, because I do have certain things we have to wash hand wise, but then go dishwasher. And I do a lot of house cleaning, because if she's working a full-time job and then she's coming in and working with me with couples in the evenings, late 3 evenings a week. When she comes home on
And
Friday,
individuals on Friday,
when
you
she comes,
say.
we get out on Friday and we come home, does she feel like doing anything? No. If we're going to have quality time together, I got to sacrifice and do some stuff and get off my sweet blessed assurance and do stuff so that we can have quality time the rest of the weekend. And we have learned that we can't be at every event, every birthday party,
Oh boy.
Every birthday party, every event,
Come on, man.
every wedding, every shower, we've learned that magical word to say
No.
no.
Yes,
I love it.
that's
We've
good, man.
learned that, you know, and we had a very revealing thing to said to us one time. Said, we seem to see you guys at more events at church than any of the other elder couples. And I'm not saying that to bashing one by any means. And we learned it was a hard lesson for us. And it said, we need to start learning to say no.
Because you
Because
have to lead by
we were
example.
running. We were
Yeah,
running
there you go.
constantly and we were exhausted. And we actually learned a lot from Troy and Tisha because they have learned that they modeled that they can say no once in a while and still be saved.
Wow. Imagine that.
That action and all that activity doesn't have to do with our salvation.
That's right.
Correct. That's
It's
right.
not works-based.
That's
It's
right.
what's in here. And
That's right.
so we learned that we have to slow down sometimes. I don't want to wear myself out so that when I do decide, quote, to retire, I can actually do something with my wife and enjoy that bride
Yeah.
of my youth.
Can I jump in here? I just want to say a little something about the whole with the seasons and growing together. One of the things we always encourage our couples, not just premarital, but the other couples coming to us, because obviously if they're coming, they're either trying to refresh, doesn't mean
Yeah.
everybody's in crisis,
Right.
which is
Exactly.
great. They
Yes.
don't wait till they're in crisis
Yeah.
to come, which is key. It's like getting the oil changed for your car. Don't wait till it seizes up your motor to try to go do that.
Yeah.
But one of the things we always encourage them is you have to have mentor couples.
Yes.
You will learn. That's going to help you grow
I
together
love that.
because you're going to see somebody else
I love that.
model that for you.
Yep. That's good,
When
man.
you get into trouble and you're like, oh, what do we do with this? You go to the Lord, and sometimes it's not clear cut.
Yeah.
Sometimes he doesn't always give you the answer that you think you want to hear or that you think he's supposed to say. But if you have good godly counsel, plug for you guys. You guys are amazing.
Absolutely.
If people aren't following you on a regular basis, if this is their first time, I recommend they go back and listen to every
Oh,
episode
yes.
from season one to today.
Yes.
But you guys, we tell everybody, both of you as couples with your wives are mentor couples to us.
Oh, wow.
And we
Absolutely.
consider your counsel more valuable than we could pay for. But we know what value that is. And we try to tell couples if you can find those people, and we always tell them it's not your peers.
Yeah,
The
right.
people who are right here, they don't always want what's best for you.
Oh.
And I don't mean that they can be Christian
Oh,
people and still not
yeah.
what's best for you.
Yeah. No, it's
Yes.
real.
They can be jealous, they can be led by, I'm miserable, I need you miserable with me.
Yep.
That old miserable loves company
Elder
is
truth.
true, and people can lead you down the wrong path. So you need to have somebody ahead of you in areas of your life that you can look to and say, hey, how did you get through this season?
Right,
How
right.
did you walk through this? And they're going to tell you because number one, they've lived through it. Number two, because if they're your mentor couple, they want what's best for you under God, not what's best for you as individuals. Not
Yeah.
so one person feels better than the other,
Yeah, right.
but this is what's going to be best for you guys to get to the end result you need to be at past this season.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's
I
awesome.
think I've said this a couple times on the podcast, or at least one other time. Here in this side of the world, we don't really take a community approach to marriage. Whereas when you look at the people of the book, that was their thing. And it got to a point that if you were to get a divorce, you had to get a certificate of divorce from a priest, but you couldn't go to the priest on your side of town. You had to go to the priest on the other side of town. And as you were going to that priest, everybody in the town is trying to talk you out of it because your marriage was important to the entire community. And I don't think we have that, at least in this part of the world, we don't have that. It's my marriage, you know, and you guys stay back and you guys stay out, not recognizing that the antidote that you need is not in your own wheelhouse, it's in somebody else's that you're pushing away. And I have people that we they know we actively watch them. They know that. And then there's people that don't know that we actively watch them and we're learning from them and we invite their advice, you know, when we need it, because contrary to my own thinking, I don't know everything.
Amen. I don't either.
Yeah, because you were never meant to figure it out by yourself.
Yeah.
So you have to have people around you that are willing to pour into you. People that in turn, what they pour into you, you can pour into somebody else.
Yeah.
And collectively we become a better community because we take a community approach to this particular relationship that's supposed to be the image of Christ and his church here in the earth.
Yeah, that's good.
So
man.
I like that. This is all helps us to grow together. So I do want to talk real quick about the roles. Now I want to do it this way. Okay. It's going to be a little bit different. So Cheryl, I want you to tell us what Dr. Tim's role is. And then Dr. Tim, I want you to tell us what Cheryl's role is. Because it's easy for us to say what our role is, what we believe our role is. But I want to hear it from the opposite perspective, if that makes sense.
Right. Sure.
So I think the doorbell's ringing. I got to go.
That's cool. So go, either one. I'm cool with either one.
I'm going to say, I'm going to back up to what the first part for me is, what this, what we started off with. He's the leader. He's the leader of our home. He is the final answer, but also because I trust him, because he holds that weight, because he knows he doesn't answer to me with that. He answers to God. So I trust him with that. But first off is that.
And I'm scared over too.
You too. I got somebody I'm scared of.
She is a redhead.
But definitely with that as the forefront is completely that. And it's so funny because, you know, Tim talked about how duty roles, like in the house, have changed different than the norm of what we consider to be the female or male roles of the household. But the thing about that that I love is that he's not unmanly for doing that. It's not like he feels like I'm too much of a man to do things. If anything, it makes him stronger in my eyes that he's willing to do some of the things that aren't typically what the man does in the household.
I had a clean house before we got married.
But definitely that. And in that, there's so much under that umbrella. I look to him for my spiritual leadership. He's the first one I look to.
Yeah.
I mentioned spiritual mentors, and we have those, and I have personal ones as well, and we have a pastor we love. But he's the first one I look to as my spiritual leader.
Yeah, it's good.
Then from there, if we need to go somewhere, we do it together. But he's the first one that I'm going to come to
that.
For that.
So then you don't go to your husband and say, the pastor said?
No. Yeah. Now I might say it after sermon, hey, did you hear that?
But sometimes, I stole this from someone, the voice of the Lord sounds like your wife's voice sometimes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
Because some of the wisdom that comes out of this woman's mouth will scare you at times. It will aggravate you at times. But it will encourage you and affirm you as well. There's all those pieces to it.
Yeah.
And it has to do with the state of my heart. Puts it back on me, doesn't it? The state of my heart to how I take it.
Yeah.
And there are times I have to go back and apologize. You know, I'm just going to be honest. You know, you know, it's like, woman, I rebuke you, you know. And then sometimes I'm like, ouch.
Yeah. I've certainly had the, you know, I've had the Abraham listen to your wife, you know, kind of thing. You know what I'm saying? after the fact, like you know, no, I'm not with that. I'm not with that. And then I get into silence, and the Lord's like, yeah, you need to be with that. You need to listen. You need to listen to her in this, you know. So yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely.
Yeah, and sometimes you kind of go like Job, a woman, you speak foolish words, you
You're speaking foolish words.
know.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm joking. I'm joking. Please, ladies, don't get offended.
Yeah.
If I need it, then I trust you to do it. I might not like it either, but if I'm submitted to the Lord, he'll tell me and I'll have to come back and apologize too.
No, honey, you're not going to give every last dime away. No, honey. Sometimes I have to be that voice of reason because this woman's heart is about 50 times bigger than her body. And she
Wow.
would give every last dime away to people if I would let her sometimes. And it's not because she's a spendthrift, it's because that's her heart.
That's her
She
heart.
wants to
Yeah.
help people, she wants to bless people.
Amen.
Man,
You
I
got
love
some brownie
it.
points, baby.
Amen. What else do you have for Cheryl as far as his roles?
Gosh. And you know, the thing is, too, is he is the leader of our children. I shepherd the part of them, but he leads them spiritually. And the thing is, and I'm just putting this out there, our children right now are not following the Lord, but he still leads them in godly counsel. God loves them even more than we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so he's not
Absolutely.
okay for him that they be lost. But even in their state, he is still the leader of them spiritually, even though they're out of the house.
Yeah, that's great.
He still covers them in that. And I see that and I watch that. And that makes me love him even more, but I see him do that on a regular basis. And I know I'm being way more spiritual than probably people are wanting all the practical, but we did mention he, you know, is doing so many things around the house. To me, what's important is he carries the weight. It doesn't matter what I bring home paycheck wise, it doesn't matter what he brings home paycheck wise, he carries the weight of that bank account. I don't care what anybody says, I don't care what women's lib says. He's the one who feels the weight of where is that money going? How are we budgeting that? How is it coming over a house? Because he is the leader of the home. So if things aren't handled well there, he has every right to call me back into alignment. If I'm spending too much somewhere, I might not love it if he tells me, but he has every right to tell me that because he's the one holding the weight of that. And that means a lot to me. And so I appreciate that when he says, hey, honey, we need to save here. Hey, honey, we need to look towards this. And honey, we got something coming up. So where can we cut back on the grocery budget, food, you know, household budget? So I think that's something that maybe we don't always put our husbands in that rightful place of, but they carry the weight of it no matter who's putting in what. That's still a part of, to me, him being head of the household, and he carries the weight of that. And I appreciate that he does it, and I have to be submitted in that.
That's awesome, man. I just love I love the fact that you guys hit because it's such an important point to make, I think. Coming to the understanding that as Troy said earlier when he quoted out of Genesis, when God calls for them, he calls for Adam, you know. And so
It's one.
that report, you know, you know, I'm military, so it's like, you know, there were many times that I had to give a report, and I had soldiers under me, but none of them were ever asked to give a report. None of them were ever called to, you know, to the captain's,
That's
you
right.
know, office or to the general's office. It was me who had to give that report, you know, and so sort of the status of, you know, where we are. And I love that you hit that because I think it's important, especially for younger couples to hear, right? Because sometimes in our experience, guys, sometimes what we've seen, we used to do counseling a long time ago, and I don't say that I was upset when God moved us away from it and had us doing some other things. I was not upset about it at all, you know, because sometimes it was crazy, as I'm sure both of you know. And I know Troy and Tisha does counseling sometimes as well. But man, just that, you know, dealing with the idea of, hey, It doesn't mean you're secondary. You guys, I think we've said it a couple times already. It doesn't mean you're secondary. We're talking about roles. And the
Yes.
primary role is I have to stand before him and give account
Yes.
for why this, and this is out of order. Whether
Right.
that's with our relationship, whether that's with my spouse, whether that's with my children, whether that's with the car. You know, well, why is the car falling apart? Well, because I spent too much money on this, and this, or I let my children dictate, or I let my spouse dictate, you know, when I know that you're the one that's supposed to be dictating how we do this thing, and if I follow you, then those things will work out and actually makes room for you to bless us even further. So I think it's, I just wanted to reiterate that, how important it is that husband-wife teams understand the beginning of the role is the submission to God first.
Yes, absolutely.
I will always look to my wife, and I had to learn this, man. I mean, we're almost at 41 years now, and I'm grateful to that for that. But man, I had to learn it. I'll just be real transparent. It was a hard learn for me. You know that you know that I needed to make sure that I hear God and look for God and listen for God in the voice of my spouse. I think one of you said it earlier, you know, because I thought, okay, no, this is me and God, this is me and God, and when I was conflating the understanding of I'm responsible to God with still looking for God in the voice of my wife, sometimes even in the voice of my children, sometimes many times in the voice of others. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm just grateful that you guys threw that in there because I think it's very important.
I'll add one more thing and then I'll let Tim go. And this might not even be all of the things that you really were wanting to touch on, but these are the things that to me, the roles and all the other things just fall underneath. Because of the place he is in, I feel completely safe and protected that he's got us, God's got him. No matter what the circumstances look like, I'm okay. We're covered
I like.
because I know he's going to, if we hit that rough spot, it's not that I'm just trusting because he's a great guy. I'm trusting because I know where he's going when we hit that rough spot. So that gives me safety. And I tell him that a lot. And a lot of times that rolls into so many different areas. He knows, because of my growing up with a stepdad who was an alcoholic and abusive. And there's a lot of safety issues that God healed me from and trust issues in our relationship. But it goes beyond that because those things are actually surface compared to the other safety he provides.
I like that.
Awesome.
And it's good to hear those things from her from time to time because you forget and don't feel like much of a man. And so it's important that men hear these kind of words.
Yeah, absolutely.
They need to
Absolutely.
hear that. It's not all about talking to women and affirming them, but men need to hear those words too.
Absolutely.
It's important that because how am I doing? We tell couples to have checkups from time to time. How am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing well? And then the next checkup question with that we throw at that is, what can I do to help you be successful this week? Or something like that. We used to do this. How am I doing? What am I doing well? And then what am I not doing well? And I'm like, there's got to be a better way. And so I, you know, as I, as they say, a blind squirrel gets a nut once in a while. And I came up with the idea, well, what can I do to help you be successful this week? And it was a game changer in our marriage, a lot. And we both asked that question because it changes, like we talk about the seasons, it changes from time to time. She, you know, she was talking about roles and the role that Cheryl carries is I'm gonna have to kind of give you an example and kind of lay this out. The Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven, right? And Kingdoms have kings, right? They have royalty that leads it. We are God's, as men, we're God's king representative on the earth. We're kings in our houses, right? Well, as if I'm the king, what does that make her? A queen, correct?
Correct.
Does that make her a serf? Does that make her a slave? Does that make her a less than important person? No. Her role is a queen in my home, which is royalty. You don't treat royalty bad.
That's right.
Correct.
And she, as a result, she is valuable. And royalty, they gain their power from who leads them. So it's important for me to empower her
Yeah, that's right. That's
to
good.
help her grow, to help her be the person that God is calling her to be. There are times when I see things inside of her that I want to affirm, that I want to say, "You go, girl. You're good at this." And within her, probably the number one thing, the role that she carries is the role of nurturer. The role of nurturer within our family. Those folks that know us know we're a blended family, and I brought two children to the marriage,
A cat.
and she brought a cat.
Yes.
I'm glad the children lasted longer than the cat, thank
Yes.
God. Even though I was not a cat person, the cat adopted me and became one of my very dearest friends, and I grieved when she passed.
Oh
She was
boy.
just special, but she, from the very start,
Yeah.
and I'm gonna tell you a funny little story. It kind of is a sidetrack. When we first met, we had been dating a month. I mean, when the kids met her,
No, I met Justin right away.
just, she met Justin right away.
Audrey was out of the
But
country.
Audrey was out of the country, and she came back. She was a foreign exchange student. She came back, and we went out to dinner. And we'd been dating, like I said, dating about a month. And Audrey goes, "When are you going to marry her? I like her."
Wow. Wow, that's
She
awesome.
saw that nurture heart within her. And these children, when they are around their friends, even though they have a biological mother, when they're around her friends, their friends, they say, "This is my mom."
It's awesome.
They will run up to her. I mean, even as teenagers, when teenagers don't do this, right? They would run up to her and hug her and run up to me and hug me as teenagers. And there are times when she can speak spiritual things into them that I cannot do. There's still times we have conversations. And it's funny how when they get in trouble, they call dad. And invariably I'll hear, even though they don't realize that, I hear spiritual things come out of their mouth that has been put inside of them from a young child's time. What does the word say? His word would not return void. And we stand in agreement they're going to come back to us. But that nurture from her helps open that heart there. Yes, she has specific duties. She does all kind of things around the house, and she does all kind of wonderful things, and
Cook
she takes
grits.
care of me. She cooks grits and
Yes, she
incredible
does.
grits and
Incredible grits.
and biscuits, and for you northern people, that's a normal thing. And I'm sorry that you have an experience. You may have experienced grits, but you haven't experienced Cheryl's grits.
Is true.
That's right. That's
They will
right.
set you free.
That's exactly right.
Even my mother, who was an incredible cook, always doffed her hat to Cheryl because she was really good about that. But she's an incredible, halfway decent. And she walks in and she reproduces. I have to go old Miles Monroe. You give her a seed, she brings you a child. You give her a house, she makes it a home. She reproduces and multiplies whatever I bring to her. And that's her role, is to, she's a multiplier without a doubt. I wish I had that quote, that Miles Monroe quote. It's probably one of the wisest men I've ever heard speak. Gone too soon, way too soon. But there's a lot that lives on in his written word and videos and things like that. And I encourage you, if you have not
Any of the listeners watchers.
listen to any of the knowledge or experienced any of the knowledge, I encourage you to do that, because he's an incredible man, incredible God. But she multiplies that I give her. So I have to affirm her. We first started speaking at conferences about 10 years ago. She had nothing to do with it. Absolutely, absolutely nothing to do with it. You stand up, you talk, I'll sit on the bench, I'll sit on the stool behind you and just nod my head. Now, I want nothing to do with it. And I kept encouraging her and kept pushing her and kept encouraging her. And the thing is she has grown spiritually so much. Oh man, there are days that I feel like I am chasing her constantly. There's no, well, I can't say that saying, but I'm running behind her sometimes because she's growing. But I encourage her constantly and affirm her, because what she has to say needs to be heard. What she has to say needs to be heard, because there's wisdom between those ears, because the Lord has made things come alive within her that just astonish me at times. We're being counseling sessions, and I'll look at her and I go, "Who are you?"
I'm up here.
Yeah, I'll go, "Who are you?" Yeah, well, she counsels on my right, and her office usually sitting in a chair on my right, and I'm like, "My goodness, girl, I never heard anything." And she said, "I don't know."
It's
It's
him,
just kind of asked,
Holy Spirit.
but that's my role, is to be an encourager. And what I give to her, boy, she not only does she give it back, she gives it back, pressed down, running over, amazing. And so that's the role of Cheryl in our lives.
I love that. That is absolutely phenomenal. I have enjoyed the discussion today. This has been such
Very
a
good.
help, and I think it's going to be a big help to our listeners. Just so you know, I did take a note of this five parts to intimacy, so don't think you're going to get away with not talking about that on this podcast in the future. I did take a note of that. So, if nothing else, we know we have to at least have you back to talk about that at some point. These
Absolutely.
five part, because I'm interested, I'm intrigued by that. I want to hear what you guys have to say about that. It's always great having you guys here with us.
Always.
I always enjoy it. And the funny part is, I could literally show you the analytics. These are always the highest rated episodes when you guys are
Absolutely.
on here with us, and I absolutely love that. So, what I want to do is give you guys an opportunity to tell people how they can find you.
Okay, we're you can find us at www.judahcarecenter.org. We're located in Fort Mill, South Carolina, in the Baxter Village complex. It's almost like Mayberry where we're at. We love the little community there, and it's like a small town almost. And it's been one of the biggest blessings for us to move there. God has really blessed us being there. We love what we do. I'm just going to be honest. We do couples. We do individual counseling as well too. And both of us, I try to do guys during the day as much as I can, and Cheryl does ladies. We made that decision a few years ago when we started this thing, that I would only do men, she would only do women, because we believe in having boundaries. It's important to have boundaries as a couple, about what people can say about you. I mean, there are lots of well-known people can speak. I mean, Billy Graham had boundaries as to who he traveled with and how he would go into a room. He didn't leave himself, open to controversy. But anyway, you can find us on the website there. We also have a phone number, 803-369-6321. You can get to us that way too as well. And we'd love to be able to help. We do, as Cheryl said, we do telehealth as well a lot. Telehealth is here to stay since COVID. It's still here, and we still do telehealth, and it's not as to me as personal, but we've grown accustomed to using that tool, and God gives us another tool to be able to work with people and help people, and that's what we're all about, is helping people. Cheryl has an incredible ladies following. They get locked in with Cheryl, and it's hard to get rid of them sometimes. And we got people that constantly call her Mama Cheryl. Just the way she is. That shows the nur again the nurture that's in her heart.
So
yeah, always good to have you here. I tell everybody, you guys are two of my absolute favorite people in the world, along with Robin Greer Franklin, and that's it.
Well, it is so mutual. We feel the same about
Absolutely.
with you guys. And we say the same thing about you guys. And it's always an honor to be here. Shameless plug, like I said earlier, if pe for people who don't know you and have only seen you here, I want them to know you guys are the real deal. As couples, you are the real deal. You are what you talk about, what you preach, and God uses you, and please continue to let him use you the way you do, because you are a light in this dark world, and your ministry is so important and so effective, and we're just grateful to be counted among your friends.
And I'm going to throw something in there too. And those things happen because they are doing things in the secret place.
Amen. Yes, absolutely.
And that is where all of us grow, is in the secret place. Our relationship grows in the secret place. That's where God reveals himself to us. That's where he changes our hearts and our motives. And so I'm just very much wanted to throw that little plug in there.
Because it's
It's got
true.
to be, and the thing is you've got to be in pursuit on a regular basis. It can't be haphazard. It can't be I just do it when I feel like it. You've
That's
got
right.
to be in pursuit. There has to be a regimen there. And just to throw a shameless plug in there, we are having
Speak
a
of in
marriage
pursuit.
Yeah, let's do it.
conference. Our church has a marriage conference. We're honored to be able to lead, to kind of lead and direct a lot of that. But it's coming up in September, and we would love to welcome all of you to that. It's at Judah Church in Charlotte, North Carolina, and the title, by the way, is In Pursuit. And it'll be September 19th, 20th, 21st. We do Friday night. Usually a good portion of that would be worship. Saturday will be more sessions. And our pastor caps it off on Sunday morning. So we would love to have you go check them out. www.judachurch.org/events. Check them out and get registered.
It's always been a good time when you guys have done these marriage conferences. You guys always hit it out of the park. It's always amazing. We always have a great time when we get there, and we really appreciate all the hard work you guys put into it. So thank you so much. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a good time. I'm gonna say this: if people don't get anything out of this, you're just dead inside. Just gonna be honest with you. If you don't get anything out of this, you have no soul. This is always a lot of fun. So look, I'm Troy.
I'm Bruce.
And we've been here with Dr. Tim and Cheryl Brewer. Always a great time here. And we thank you guys for spending your time with us here under the Fig Tree.